Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You are amazing. Amazing. Amen. This is their second service, and they just freely serve and worship. They just love God that much. This is not a hired band. They're just among you, rising up and serving in this house. Appreciate them so much. And in one week, the Feast of Tabernacles. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk to you about the Feast of Tabernacles. You can be dismissed until later. And I'll be telling you about it for those of you that are new in the house to help you understand. Because after next Sunday, on Monday, we're going to go 8 days. And this worship team is going to be, they'll be going 8 straight days worshiping the Lord. So pray for them. But the Bible instructs us, invites us to do it. And I always look at it every year as kind of like a fast, you know, just giving myself to it and really loving it. We have a lot of great speakers coming in, not least of which is Paul Wilbur. He'll open it up on Monday night and Tuesday morning. And probably one of the most well-known worldwide psalmist worship leaders in the world. And many of the songs that we sing, you know, he made popular. But a lot of other speakers coming as well, including Prophet Ben Smith will be back. And he's always got good insight on out of the Hebrew text about the Feast of Tabernacles. And a lot of others, not least of which is my father and our founder, Dr. Gerald Durstein, on the front row, who's been to Israel 54 times, leading groups to Israel. So he knows a little bit about the land and always has some interesting insight to share with us. So we'll get you can go online and see all the speakers and get the schedule of what's happening. Pray for me this week. I'm flying out on Wednesday to our trucking center, our Christian retreat for truckers. Been doing this about 30 years. We have 40 acres right on the interstate out there, and hundreds of trucks come onto that property every day off of the interstate, and everything's free to the truckers. It's going to be a truckers jamboree this week. We do this a couple times a year, and I'll be preaching to truckers. We'll be baptizing them and getting them saved, baptizing the Holy Ghost, and I'm sure I'll have some stories for you next Sunday as well. But pray for me. Wednesday night, don't miss it. Wednesday is Yom Kippur. It's the Day of Atonement. And Dr. Frank Bayh will bring a message on that, help you understand that. So that's Wednesday night. Well, I hope you have your Bible, though, today, because we're going to join now synagogues all over the world. There's a lot of religious Jews all week long in this 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know what they're reading? They're reading the story of Jonah and the whole book of Jonah. Now, there's 4 chapters. If you give me my screens, I'm still declaring all summer long. I've been talking about the new normal for the church. And I want you to understand that this is our finest hour. The church is not shutting down. The church is rising up. Now, we never shut our doors in this church all last year. We just didn't feel led to. But more recently, we have gone to 2 services, so there's more room to spread out. And by the way, there's still room in the balcony. If you feel a little tight quarters, we're still encouraging social distancing. We're encouraging you to wear masks before and after the service just to honor one another as you get close. And by the way, seeing Greg on the front row. Greg got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost when God opened his blind eye. He was almost in the back when he started here. A good Catholic, a faithful Catholic man of God. Oh, not faithful. Oh, Christmas and Easter only Catholic. Okay, a really bad Catholic. Okay. But he got a hold of something in this house and just never stopped coming. And he didn't have to come to an altar. He was shocked when God opened a blind eye on his brother. And now he's worked his way all the way to the front row today for the first time. Praise the Lord. So those of you that are further back, we have seat belts on the first two rows, you know. But I want to talk to you from the book of Jonah. I'm going to talk about the new normal for the church is walking in God's call. Say that with me. Walking in God's call. Now, today, we're going to actually cover the whole story, four chapters and four principles. The first verse of every chapter gives a principle. And I want us to understand it because I believe it's the new normal for the body of Christ, the remnant church. This is our greatest hour because we're rising up as the light of the world. Jesus said, ye are, we are the light of the world. And we should be a city set on a hill. We need to let our light shine. The darker and the more chaotic the world gets, the more you're going to stand out if you're on fire for God. Because the world's looking for people that are together, that have their lives in order. I said last week that we bring harmony to a world that's in discord. We bring order to all the chaos. Literally, as people of the blessing, we can neutralize the curse. You know, the world's under a curse. But we walk as people of blessing. And in this hour, as we rise up and become more necessary to the world, we have to understand our authority. Because we're not just praying and asking God, please, please, please. No, we understand God's word. And so we pray with thanksgiving. So this is how Jonah got delivered. But let's start out with chapter 1 here and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. You know, the word of the Lord has come to all of us. That's why you're in church today. I mean, you might still be at different levels of understanding what God's voice sounds like. It could be a still small voice inside, maybe just a notion. But the more that you discover what God's voice sounds like, the more you discover how God speaks to you. It might be through dreams and visions. It could be through an audible voice. There's examples of this all through Scripture. But the more that you can hear God's voice, the stronger you'll be for the Lord. But I want you to know, you're here today because God's call is upon your life. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you. Look at somebody next to you and say, I'm an ordained minister, a minister of the Spirit, able minister of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. I don't have time to camp there too long. But God says, I've chosen you, John 15:16. And then in Psalms 139, verse 13, we understand that God conceived you in your mother's womb. He knew you'd be, and he's kept you alive for today so that you'd be here so you could say, for such a time as this. I mean, it's a crazy time in the world today, right? But God saw fit that you and I would be here. Because he's given us special gifts and callings, and the gifts and callings are without repentance, which means it doesn't matter how badly you've messed up along the way. God uses everything to prepare you for where you're at today. I look back on my life, Dad, and to know that just like Jonah, I was running from God for much of my growing up life. The next verse says, God tells him to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Look at verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. God sent him to Nineveh, to the world, to bring hope and life and tell them that they needed to know God and his salvation. And he decided to run off to Fun City and serve himself. Go to Tarshish. It says, after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Look at verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind, a great storm. Let me tell you something. You can run, but you can't hide from God.
Right.
And, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that prevails.
Amen.
You know, I am passionate about helping people find God's purpose for their life. We have a weekly television program in this church. It's every Tuesday night at 11. I know some of you aren't up that late, but on Christian Television Network, it's called Purpose for Life with Pastor Phil. Thank you for that, that one excited viewer back there. You know what? Honestly, with my daily, we've been doing this daily communion for more than a year now since the pandemic. And I think I've got more viewers on our daily online than on the weekly telecast. But look at it sometime, because in the program, I'm really trying to help people understand you have God's purpose. I'm talking about the creator of the universe has a purpose and a plan for your life. Somebody say, wow. That's huge. That's huge. Past administration. Sorry. Jonah ran from God, but God wouldn't leave him alone. It says in verse 5, all the sailors were afraid. They cried out to his own God, God with a little G. And they said, they threw the cargo overboard trying to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Into a deep sleep. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, thou that sleepest. You know, I'm sorry to say, maybe the church, at least the institutional church, is asleep today. The church originally founded this nation, one nation under God. In God we trust. It's still engraved, thank God, in stone and in marble on the buildings in Washington, D.C. But the hearts of people and largely our leaders, it's not there anymore. And so I think the church needs to awaken from that sleep. It says, awake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. That's why we were singing today about the dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let those dry bones rise up. Rise up. We believe that. We believe that many are called, but few are chosen. The difference between the called, everybody in the world is called by God. But the chosen ones are just simply those that accept the call. You become chosen when you say yes. Yes, I'll follow you. I won't run. Well, Jonah was deep asleep, and even the sailors were saying, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. I believe the world's saying that to the church today. If God is real, if it's not just a figment of the imagination from some weak-minded people, then would the real God, capital G, please stand up? I love it because God loves a challenge like that. You put God to the test and he will rise up. Anyway, Jonah said, okay, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God of heaven, capital G, who made the sea and the land. This terrified the sailors. They knew he was running from the Lord. Anyway, Jonah said, you'll have to throw me overboard in order to get God saved. They said, we can't do that. But finally, it got so severe, they said, okay, we have to do it. They threw him overboard, and immediately the wind stilled. But it wasn't over for Jonah. Look at verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Somebody say, ooh. See, God provided the fish not to kill Jonah, but to keep him alive. But it wasn't pleasant. You run from God, you know, you can go your own way. It won't be pleasant. You won't be successful because God's got a plan and a purpose for you. And he's just not going to let you go and ignore it. I want to show you this scripture up on the screen, 1 Peter 2:9, because we are the chosen. Ye are a chosen generation, it says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you know what our purpose is. You know, you're not all called to be pounding a pulpit in a church somewhere, you know, like pastors, preachers are. But all of you, all of us, are assigned by God to shine in a dark world. And that's what this verse is saying, that we should show forth the praise of him. Let me tell you, if God's done something for you in this world, inquiring minds want to know if he's healed you, if he's given you joy in the midst of all the pain around you, if he's given you hope, if he's given you peace in the midst of the storm, if he's helped you walk in faith instead of fear over this pandemic, inquiring minds want to know. So in this first chapter, I want to say this. God uses the pressure of our problems to motivate us to walk in the light of his calling. You know what? It's the most fun way to live, to get up every day and say, you know what? I'm walking and living in the purpose of God. I am the light of the world. I'm going to make a difference in my world today. You're in the kingdom of God. That's right. Doesn't matter what culture you're from or what nation. You know, we often want to compare all that. We're in the nation and the culture of heaven, the kingdom of God, making a difference. That's why we pray the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. What a great assignment, right? But we need to understand this because the enemy's trying to put your light out. The enemy's trying to destroy your faith with fear. And there's a lot of it going around today. I'm just so impressed with David and Tiffany and their family and us as a family, how we've been walking through this valley of the shadow of death with Sister Millie. And I mean, the whole family's been out in the parking lot. You know, they've been at each other's homes praying and believing, and we watch the oxygen level go up and then down a little bit and up again, and we're just rejoicing. And you know, however God ends this assignment, it's going to be good for all of us to have walked through it together. But we want to see Sister Millie here worshiping on the stage again. Amen. Take that, devil, right? So I believe this first chapter, the fact that Jonah ran from the call of God, I want to wake all of you up. You have the call of God. The call of God stuff is not just for preachers. It's for everyone that was conceived by God in this earth. And if you're alive today, God kept you alive for such a time as this. Don't say, oh, I just don't want to be alive in this terrible world. No, you're alive with the purposes of Almighty God stamped on your life. And that's a wow. And that's a fun way to live. Okay, so here's Jonah in the belly of the whale, chapter 2. Here we go. I want to talk to you about the fact that in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed. You know, sometimes if you're that hard-headed, I mean, you got to end up in the belly of a whale circumstantially before you hit your knees. God knows how to get you on your knees, okay? Amen. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Hallelujah. And he says, from in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He said, out of the belly of hell. I mean, that was hell. He wasn't sitting by a campfire roasting marshmallows. I mean, the Bible says he had seaweed strangling him. He's in the belly being digested by the belly of that fish. But look at this. I want to help you understand how he prayed. It's very, very important. If you skip down to verse 9, he said, he prayed this way, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He was literally remembering and quoting from Psalms 50, verse 14 and 15, that instructs us this way: sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. It's a pretty good instruction if you're in trouble. Now, here's what I want to help you understand. The moment that Jonah prayed that prayer, verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited him out onto dry land. The moment he prayed with thanksgiving, let me give you a couple more verses that are familiar to you. Philippians 4 and verse 5, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the middle of everything, because God shows up in the middle, like that fourth man in the fire, God shows up. Now I'm going to show you why the principle is so true. You'll never find a verse of scripture that says that you pray saying, please, please God, pretty please. No, it's always thanksgiving. Why? Because he's already done the work. By his stripes, we were healed. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had to pray looking forward to his stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. It's coming one day. But we can look back and say, now it's a reality. The blood was shed on the cross. Amen. By his stripes, the work, the price is paid. The work is done. Now, when you pray with thanksgiving and you're thanking God for what he's already done, that's faith. Amen. That's faith. That's praying with faith. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. You say, well, what if I still feel the pain? You still say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to make the pain go away. You're going to make the symptoms go away. But I thank you that I'm healed. You say, well, that's crazy. No, that's faith. Be crazy enough to just do what the word says to do. And it will, praying that way will change your season. Get you out of the belly of the whale. Prayer with thanksgiving opens a spiritual gate to bring a season change in your life. Hallelujah. That's why my father, a few years ago, at his age, you know, he had every right, people would say, to be bent over and walking like this and be in pain. But one day he got up and said, you know what? That's not faith. God spoke to him and said, there's nowhere in the Bible where you can say, ouch. You need to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he started applying what he preaches and what he knows to be true. And you know what? He didn't keep getting more painful or burdened or bent over. He stood up and started walking straight and walking well. Praise the Lord, somebody. He changed the season of his life. Okay, so now Jonah's out on dry land. Chapter 3, my third principle. The depth of God's love and forgiveness. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And guess what? Jonah had learned something. Let's go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. And he proclaimed to them, 40 more days, Nineveh, and you'll be overturned. He was proclaiming the judgment of God. But look at verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down on the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so we will not perish. Look at verse 10. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. You know what, guys? God is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. I believe, and you've heard me say this, and I've been believing for this, that the day's going to come when our government, an administration, this administration or the next administration, I don't know, if they will call this nation to prayer and fasting, then just like Nineveh, you know, that's why Jewish people are reading the book of Jonah during this 10 days of awe. They're believing that maybe God will relent like he did with Nineveh for the world today. You know, God's word is true and he will, and we can believe that. But I want you to understand this for your own life too, because the Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. It's the wicked that are brought down by calamity. God is so gracious. He has no problem with sin because he knows sin can be forgiven. The enemy wants you to live with a sin consciousness. God wants you to live with a God consciousness and faith. Here's what it says in Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, the north and the south has a distinct amount of space from pole to pole, but east and west is infinite. It goes on forever. That's how far God has removed our sins from us. You can have forgiveness for sin. I want you to understand God's depth of love and forgiveness, because if that's one tool the enemy uses on the body of Christ, is to try to make you try to doubt your identity and say, well, you failed God so many times. Now you're no longer able, you know, to represent yourself as a believer. Stop that. Just get to the altar again. Lay it down again at the cross. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we see that God never gives up on you. His forgiveness is as far as the east is from the west. I really believe that your authority rises up when you can get up every morning and say, I'm a child of God. I'm walking in the power and the authority and the assignment of God for my life. And when you do that, man, you are becoming the devil's greatest nightmare, because he cannot keep you discouraged, depressed anymore. You rise up every day looking for the purpose of God to come forth in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you one more chapter, because we see that in chapter 3, Jonah actually had a great revival in Nineveh. But here's the problem. Chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. What was he angry at? Is because the people were not going to be destroyed by God. But they had repented and they had received the compassion of God. He prayed, Lord, is this not what I said was when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, just take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. But God replied, have you any right to be angry? It says, then Jonah went out and sat in a place east of the city, made himself a shelter, sat by its shade, wanted to see what would happen to the city, still hoping it would be destroyed. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. He wanted to die. and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I'm angry enough to die. What a great Bible story to tell your kids, right? You read it like me. I love reading books to my kids, and I make up stories and just show them the pictures. Their attention span doesn't last for two or three paragraphs anyway. Show them the picture. Tell your own story. My stories are always very highly charged and emotional, and they love it. But it's not anything about the book. You know, I can tell them a story about, what's the train guy's name? Thomas the Train. Because little Lukey, he's got a Thomas the Train bed. And boy, he likes to know about Thomas the Train. Well, in my story, Thomas the Train is saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, and he's always talking to others about Jesus. You know, so that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Okay. But God says, you've been concerned about this vine, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? 120,000 people came to know God. And Jonah, why was he acting this way? I'll tell you why. Because we're living in the same kind of world today where there's such a spirit of discontent. There's such a spirit of entitlement, pride, arrogance. You know, I mean, even thinking that the blessing and prosperity of this nation came because of man and not God. Let me tell you something, church. We can lose this prosperity in America. I'm concerned about that. That's why the church needs to rise up. We as believers, we need to be bold with our faith. I'm not talking about being arrogant or being proud. I'm just talking about being outspoken, being confident, being bold in the Lord. In the book of Acts, they saw the new church as such a strong for their boldness. They're so bold. And that's attractive. When you're confident and bold for God, the world's looking for somebody they can trust, looking for leadership. We are that leadership. Rise up, church, rise up. And watch the miracles that God will bring in your path. So this particular principle can be amplified here in 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Apostle Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You know, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I found myself lately praying for people that have sickness in their body, and I'm saying, God, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost we're talking about here. This is the kingdom of God. This sickness is unauthorized to operate in the temple of the Lord. Sickness, I'm speaking to you now. Get out. Get out of God's temple. You have no authority. You are not authorized to operate in the temple of the living God. Wouldn't it be great if we could say that about our nation? The fact that our founding fathers, they founded this country for in the name of Jesus Christ, not just to have a neutral country, you know, for freedom for all religions, but they founded this in the name of Jesus Christ, dedicated to Christianity. Don't let anybody take that away by trying to rewrite history. That it's engraved in the walls of the buildings. You know, over the Supreme Court, you got Moses holding the Ten Commandments. Engraved, thank God. So it can't be painted out. But it's time for us to rise up. You know, this is why this whole book of Jonah is so important. We are called. We are the called ones and empowered by God to carry his word, to carry his light in this dark world. We know how to pray with thanksgiving. We know the word of God. We know it's already done. So we can walk by faith and not by feelings. Walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Somebody? And we can believe for the whole city to be saved. We're believing for this region right now. The trigger of the pistol of Florida, the Tampa Bay, Sarasota, Bradenton area. Many prophets have prophesied, and we're rising up again to declare it and see it come to pass. I'm saying that you belong to God. Honor Him in your spirit and in your soul and in your body. Put your spirit in charge of your being. Here's the four principles and points I wanted to make for you today, but I need to wrap it up. I hear the worship team coming here, and I tell them to come out so I know when my time is up. And I can just cut the sausage off right there. You know, church, we have an opportunity today to fulfill the plan of God in the world today. I believe every word of this book is true. We're going to see Christ return one day, and the Feast of Tabernacles is about the return of Christ. That's why we're celebrating it more just as a type and shadow right now. But one day, Christ is going to return. When He returns with judgment on Yom Kippur, it's going to be too late. But we have time right now, and God is patient. Time for your family, your friends, for your realm of influence. And I just have a vision to reach the whole world. Will anybody join me? Amen. Let's just reach the whole world. We have the technology to do that today. And, you know, right now we're live streaming all over the world. And some of our friends in Israel, you know, they stay up in the middle of the night to join our service. We're waving to you there in the Middle East. And we're coming into an agreement that no matter how bad in the natural this world might look, God has a plan, and we're part of it, and we want to see it come to pass. I want to invite you to get on board. Join the vision of the kingdom of God here on this earth. The Bible says, if you'll just, as many as receive Him, He gives us the power to become sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. Bow your heads right where you're sitting. Right now, I'm not going to have an altar call. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here today, but I'm just going to say, if you're not 100% sure of where you stand with Christ today, I want you to just say yes to Him. Say, yes, Lord, I receive You. I believe that You died on a cross for the sins of mankind. And I invite You, Lord, to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Empower me with Your Spirit. Lord, I want to live for You. I want to be a part of this last days family of God that's going to change the world. Lord, You did it for Nineveh. You can do it for America. And Lord, I'm asking You to raise up a people that are bold, that are not ashamed, not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, today, I pray, Father, that You would let somebody come to the knowledge of You in a new and a living way. Maybe somebody that's attended church for a long time, but let them hear Your voice and say yes to that call. Lord, to be a part of Your plan, Your purpose for this world, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Lord, You're patient. You're patient with us. Lord, I pray for that one, that two, that three, hearing me today, Lord, that need to receive You in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. I want you to put your hand on your heart right now, if you would, just like I'm doing. Put your hands on your heart. You know, I laid my hands on myself this week. I had gone in to visit Brother Reverend Keith Linden, you know, one of our ministers who's in ICU, and they let me in last week, but they wouldn't let me in this week. I had my anointing oil. I was going to anoint him. I did everything I could in his daughter and his wife, they did everything they could to get me in, and I couldn't get in this time. So I said, no problem, no problem. I sat in the waiting room in that hospital. I anointed myself with oil, praise God. And I anointed myself. I'm sitting there, and then I got up, and I walked around on behalf of Brother Keith. He's going to get up and walk around. And I said, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. You know, God's going to show us the way. He's going to show you the way too. Put your hand on your heart. Father, I thank you that your spirit lives in us. And Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. We have the mind of Christ, Lord. So you're straightening us out in our thinking so that we can declare with authority, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Lord, we want to make sure the right thing comes out of our mouth. So, Lord, renew our mind. Strengthen us in our heart. Oh, God, let us think in our heart, because as a man thinketh with his heart, not with his head. Lord, we want to think with our heart and out of your word in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath with me right now. Be filled with more of his spirit in his life. Lord, breathe on us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. Take another deep breath. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, more of his life. Lord, less of me and more of you, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lead us in that.